Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for today's program, Keep Calm and Carry On. Wow, I woke up excited thinking about this topic this morning, wondering exactly what I'd like to say. I was thinking about what we consider as a crisis, the big ones and the small everyday ones, the world crises and the personal ones that we go through, and I knew I wanted to talk about keeping calm and centered in crisis. I was thinking about what happened in Paris a few days ago when terrorists coordinated a citywide attack, killing hundreds of people. I was reflecting back to my own most recent crisis, the divorce that I went through last year after a long-term relationship of 28 years with my ex-husband, and one that I went through before that, the major surgery in 2013 that I had. And both of these were like huge for me and changing so much about my life. And I was also thinking about my friends and my family and my clients and their various crises. And then this morning, something very unexpected happened. I was witness to and even helped others who were total strangers go through a serious crisis. Now, how ironic is that? Getting ready for today's show and then I'm finding myself in this crisis situation. And it's the kind where you have to call 911, the kind that thankfully does not happen every day. It happened while I was out on my walk this morning. I was going for my morning walk, and I had taken one turn around the community doing the route I like to do, and then I dropped off my dog so I can go back out, and I can do a faster walk pace and go for more miles than my little guy can. So at one point, I decided to turn left instead of right, and I came across some parents freaking out with their little girl. Maybe she might be 2 years old, and she seemed to be having a seizure. She was vomiting. Her eyes were rolling up inside of her head. Her face was white. Her lips were turning blue. She was limp in her father's arm, and he had her, like, facing downward and was patting her back. And the mother saw me walking toward them, and she pleaded for my help. She came running toward me. Can you call 911? She asked me. And so the father, I mean, it was a freaky scene. The father was saying the girl's name frantically, Issa, 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 stay with us, Issa. Oh, no, Issa. I mean, he was freaking out. And the mother was beside herself, too. I was trying to stay calm. I was dialing 911. I personally have never dialed 911 in my life, so here I am doing this, and I'm calmly asking the mother, has this ever happened before? She said no. A neighbor was with him, and she was trying to help too, but we weren't able to console these parents all that much. I mean, understandably. And here I am, suddenly thrust in this epic crisis while trying to stay calm. I'm serving as a bridge all of a sudden between this the very calm and very professional emergency phone worker who at one point switched me to the paramedic at the 911 center, and he was very professional and patient as well, and then the very upset parents who were reacting in their various ways. And the father at one point carried the girl inside their home. He placed her on the bed, and I'm trying to follow, and I'm like, do I stand out here and wait for the 911 emergency workers? Do I go inside? And the whole time I'm on the phone with 911, it's kind of crazy, you know? And he had her on the bed, and he's laying on her side, he laid her on the side like the paramedic said to do, and the father kept talking to the girl, mostly in a foreign language that later I found out was Portuguese. He was assuring her. He was also, you can tell, assuring himself. He kept saying her name, Issa, Issa. And he was rubbing her and stroking her hair and trying to, like, wake her up, and because she was mostly unconscious. And the paramedic on the phone wanted us to time the girl's breathing, so we put the phone on speaker, and the father, having something to do, finally he started kind of calming down, and he was real compliant, and he was assured by this medical professional that her breathing was good. And the mother, she was outside waiting for the paramedics on the phone with a family member. She finally found her phone and could call her family member, and she's walking in occasionally to check on the scene, and there's the neighbor, and who we look at each other every once in a while thinking, oh my goodness, what can we do? And the only thing I can do is just calmly hold the phone while it's on speaker and the father talked to the paramedic at the 911 center. It was surreal. And at the same time, I felt very present and I felt very centered, like I was glad I was there to help. And I wasn't thinking at the moment of how interesting it was that I decided to take that turn and end up at their house at the time when they needed me. But, you know, in hindsight, you can look at those things. Now, I chose this topic a few weeks ago when I was thinking about what I wanted to do today, and I wanted to feature, I had written about this before, and so I wanted to feature what I'd written before, and I think, you know, a useful observation about, you know, how we find calm in the storms of life. And I named the program, what I did, Keep Calm and Carry On, because I had found some interesting trivia. The Keep Calm and Carry On thing is a fashionable trend right now, isn't it? You see it everywhere. You don't have to look very hard to find it. You'll see the red background, white lettering, a king's crown at the top, and below it the words Keep Calm and Carry On. I've seen it, or versions of it, everywhere, especially on Facebook and the like. People have modified it a lot, variations like Keep Calm and Eat Chocolate, Keep Calm and Love Life, Keep Calm and Go Shopping, Stay Alive and Avoid Zombies. What? Yep, that's on the Wikipedia page. And one of my all-time favorites is Keep Calm and Be a Pandacorn. Instead of a crown, it has an image of a hybrid creature, the panda unicorn or pandacorn. There are even sites where you can go online to create your own poster or put your own variation of the slogan on other products like mugs and T-shirts. Anyway, I wondered about the origin of the slogan. I had seen it everywhere, Keep Calm and Carry On, and I thought it would be kind of clever to call the program that. But then I looked it up, and that's why I was on Wikipedia and then ended up on the BBC News website. Did you know that Keep Calm and Carry On was a motivational poster created by the British government in 1939? They wanted to prepare the public for World War II and a possible German invasion. So it was one of the three motivational posters that they created at the time. The other two said, freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might, on a green background. And then there was a blue poster, and it said, your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. And those were like this three sets of posters. And almost 2.5 million copies of the Keep Calm and Carry On poster, that they were printed in 1939, but then they were, in the next year, in 1940, they were recycled for the paper salvage campaign. So there's barely any of these out there left, any originals. The story goes that in the year 2000, Stuart and Mary Manley, who are co-owners, a married couple who own a bookstore in the UK, found one of the original posters in a box of used books that they bought at an auction. And so they hung it up in their store. It attracted attention from customers, so much so that they decided to start producing it and selling copies. So hence, it came into our popular culture. And there was really another interesting story that I'm providing a link for so you can read it. It's 2012, the Antiques Roadshow. I'm an Antiques Roadshow geek. I love watching that show. And apparently the UK version, they had someone show up who had a collection of 15 original Keep Calm and Carry On posters and worth a lot of money. And the lady who brought it to the show said that she found it in her father's old things. He had been in the Royal Observer Corps, a civilian volunteer organization that was set up back in World War II to help spot enemy aircraft. And he was planning on putting the posters in shop windows and bus stops around where he lived. But by the time he received them, the threat of the German invasion had passed. So that's the story behind Keep Calm and Carry On. And all those little goofy side ones that we're seeing, Keep Calm and Eat Chocolate. It's an iconic statement for today, even though it was invented to help during a crisis in another time in history. So it seems to be striking a chord still to this day. I guess that's because crisis is an inescapable part of the human experience. I mean, I believe that in the midst of crisis, that your sanity and your effectiveness depends on being calm. It's been my personal experience, and just today was my experience. And if you remain centered, you can even be giving. If you are centered and calm, you can turn around and be giving. In this book, there's a book that I love. Richard Carlson wrote it called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And he talks about remaining centered in a crisis in the book. He says, the eye of the storm is that one specific spot in the center of a twister, a hurricane, or tornado that is calm, almost isolated from the frenzy of activity. how nice it would be if we too could be calm and serene in the midst of chaos, in the eye of the storm. You'll notice that by being in the eye of the storm, you'll be more present moment oriented. He's right. Staying in the present moment is really important in this whole sense of calmness. But staying centered is difficult when others around you are falling apart. I know, because even though I tend to be calm under pressure, just naturally, this morning when I was distracted by the father freaking out at one point, I accidentally hung up on the 911 operator and had to call back. So, and by the way, in case you're wondering, little Issa is apparently she seems to be okay. She had a febrile, I think what they call a febrile seizure, which happens when babies and small children run high fevers, and she was running a fever. So by the time the paramedics arrived and they took the situation well in hand, she was already regaining consciousness. She was already waking up. So she had had the seizure and was exhausted. Clearly, she was going to be okay. But to be on the safe side, they were going to take her to the hospital. So what I watched myself doing today is what I have always believed, that the human will is an extraordinary thing. You are in control of your will, of your attitude, and you can command yourself to remain calm and objective. Whether you're in the midst of crisis or living day to day, you can stay centered, though it does take some practice. Now, being centered and in the present moment as much as possible, not getting caught up in what's going to happen, you know, oh my gosh, freaking out, what's going to happen. I think that helps you so you can either take action, or if you can't take action, to console the people that need your love, need your consoling, even if they're total strangers. In fact, that to me is the best way to cope with the storm, to tap into your compassion so that you can give to whoever is in need. And some of us just do this really naturally, right? You see a big crisis happening and people just rallying to help. It works hand in hand with being present moment oriented. All of a sudden, doesn't matter what's going on back at your office, what the rest of your day looks like, you are in the present moment helping to work through this crisis. And when you're giving, you aren't wrapped up in panic. So if you get into the giving mode instead of the panic, you're just too busy pouring out love. It takes love, and it takes strength to be giving in a crisis. But it is such a healing activity, even for yourself, so that no matter how raw you feel during the process, you'll come out feeling stronger and fortified on the other side. And one last note about all this. In addition to being centered and being giving, you need to be aware of your own needs in a crisis. If you could use some help, open yourself to others who are giving. Allow yourself to receive. That's what helped me through some of the darkest times that I've been through in crisis. And it's certainly, I think it's okay to be, you know, value rugged individualism and being strong as a person. But in times of crisis, it often becomes apparent just how much we can't exist without each other. Issa's mother asked for help today, and she got it. After the crisis this morning, after I helped as much as I could, and it was time for us neighbors to get out of the way while they took Issa to the hospital, the neighbor, I found out her name was Diane, she and I walked out together. She looked at each other. You know, we looked at each other, and she looked at me, and I looked at her. And we let out this collective sigh. Whew, and it was time to carry on. She walked back to her door, and I walked back home too. I didn't finish my walk this morning, but I did go ahead with my day as planned. And all day, I've had these little moments when I've stopped and just sent out healing thoughts and prayers to that family. Wow, what a crisis they've gone through today. How exhausted they must be. Hope you're feeling better, Issa. All right, so before I close today's program, let me tell you about next time. We're going to spend another half an hour with Shelley Pernot to do a deeper dive into the subject of mindfulness. That was such a great program that we did together before, and I'm so excited she's going to talk with me again, because I really look forward to not only getting more mindfulness tips, but I especially want to know about the mindfulness blocks that she mentioned. Anyway, that's what's coming up next on December 6th. And finally, if you're interested in my books, my courses, my other programs, if you want to connect with me through Facebook and Twitter, you can see all those links at angelaloeb.com. That's angelaloeb.com. Feel free to reach out. I'd love to connect with you and hear from you. And so it's now time to sign off. Until next time, be well and shine on.